Hi guys, and welcome to the new series of Black Ink Cinema podcast, where we are filming at the amazing Gin and Tonic Distillery in Stratford. Hence the Gin and Tonic here, it's beautiful. I'm joined by the brilliant Tuana.
Hello.
who has picked an amazing film we've had on the show before, but wanted to get the perspective of a wonderful black woman here, which we will dig into. But before we get into that, wanted to talk to you about you and get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
So, comedian, stand-up, how did that start?
That started about, I don't know, where are we now? I'm confused. That started about 13 years ago. 2010 was like 13 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
COVID
time. Time warp.
I was working in a job and I was really bored. That's honest.
That will make you change.
Yeah, and I just wanted to do something creative.
Mm.
And I don't know how I found out, but I just found out about doing... Well, I wanted to do a writing course. And the writing course that I wanted to do was already
fully booked.
And when I went to book, I could have done it online and I didn't do it online. I thought I'd do it in person. I don't know why. So when I went down... And they were like, this is already fully booked, but there is one space left on stand-up. You can do that. I was like, all right then.
Let me
just do that. It'll get me out of the house.
Yeah.
This is a good thing. So that's how I got into stand-up.
That's
so
interesting.
I just carried on.
That is really
I was
cool.
quite good at it. I'm quite funny.
I mean, it's pretty good.
So, yeah.
Did you have any inspirations or people that you looked up to within stand-up or comedy?
No, not really. Like, when I've met people... over the years who've done stand-up and started stand-up, they'll be like, I like this person, I was into this person, I went to this and I went to that, and I was like, I never had any of that.
Wow.
I don't have that sort of... It's like, I like being funny.
Yes.
I like making people laugh. I kind of like writing jokes. I kind of understand how I can write jokes for myself to make you laugh, to make an audience laugh, but I don't really understand, and I'm not really interested in everybody else.
Which is great,
which
is how it should be.
Yeah.
I'm only getting to know that side of me now, a bit more selfish, but for a long time I wasn't. So that's, I'm here for
cool.
that.
Okay, cool.
I'm obviously in the presence of great podcaster, Tuana Main.
Yes.
You have got a podcast, Black Woman.
Yes.
BBC Sounds.
Yes.
Which I loved.
Thank you.
And a few others as well. When I typed in your name, there was like podcasts everywhere. I was like,
there's
I love
a few,
this.
I've been on a few, and I have a separate one that I've recorded a few episodes, which is not a comedy podcast, but I'm just chatting to people about being fostered and adopted.
And
that's what I am. Or was.
Let's delve a little bit into that, which I found very interesting, because it's transracial adoption is what you talk about, which in this era people only know Madonna and the Angelina Jolies. They don't understand it's nice to have like a real person that we could talk to and get their account. Not everyone gets adopted by famous
white ladies.
That go
some
and say
get,
I'll have that one.
Some of us just get adopted by farmers' daughters. That's
which is a story we want to hear. Really interesting. What's been the most difficult thing that you might have heard on talking while talking to people?
What about being adopted?
Yeah, no, or like the trans race adoption.
Right, this is, it's not, I don't think it's not controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should be a thing.
Okay.
Because I think it, I was talking to somebody about this the other day and just about adoption. Like, I think being adopted, like that experience, it's quite a lonely experience. You don't actually know that many people. Like, my brothers are adopted. They're my brothers. We were adopted together. But we never talked about being like adopted in that sort of sense. But if you meet other adults who've been adopted, and it's really interesting how some people just turn around and go, I've had a fine adoption, I'm fine. And essentially I have as well.
Mm.
But actually when you sort of take off the layers and look at it, it's like actually you never could talk to anybody about this thing. Everyone tells you, like, literally, it's really weird. Like, you can meet somebody and not know them for very long, but if they, once they find out that you're adopted, they'll tell you this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. And you're like, it's such a weird thing to be told. And you're like, I'm not saying it's the worst thing that's ever happened to me, because it's not, but actually, there's a lot
it's more layered.
There's so many layers to it, and it's just like people are really invested, like, strangers are really invested in adoption being happy and do not want to hear
a success story
and don't want to hear anything,
any of the horror stories,
or anything just where you just turn and go actually it's a bit more complicated.
And the reason why I enjoyed that podcast is because you managed to talk about something quite serious and quite hard to talk about that I'd find, but executed it in such a way that the average person could understand, but then also laugh. There was points when I was like, oh, God, I really should be laughing. But at the same time, I saw parts of my own family in that as well, and I was like, oh, okay, like this is to kind of unified everyone. A great show, which is my favourite, This Is Us. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I know it.
But I think that was the kind of first time they had honest conversations about that.
And but some of the writers on that are adopted.
Oh my God, well that's probably why it's
some
just
of them,
like...
Some of them are adopted. Yeah. So it's because sometimes when you sort of deal with adoption, you're getting it from the adoptive parents' perspective, which is a very different perspective, and you're not getting it from the inside, from being the person who's adopted.
Watching This Is Us, not like that's not only a reference, but Randall, the guy who's adopted by the white family, he often feels that he has to prove his blackness. Yeah. Did you ever feel like that was...
To who? Other black people?
Other black people.
No, but I do understand. Or even other white people. I don't think so. But to white people, it's interesting. Not to other... Maybe a bit at school, but it's like school's such a weird time anyway. Secondary school was just such a weird time.
Okay.
And... I don't know, but I wrote this thing a few years ago, well, about 15 years ago in this book, and it was written, there was loads of accounts written by transracial and also adoptees who are like transracial and transnational, so people who've been adopted from abroad, all of that.
And a completely different culture
and
as well.
All of that, so like loss of names and language and culture, all of this kind of stuff. And I met, and I went to this book launch, and it was the first time I'd been in a room where I'd met, like I'd been going to my mum for ages, going, I want to meet other people like who've been adopted.
A similar experience.
Similar experience. And so one of the first few times that I met other black people who'd been adopted by white folks, I was just surrounded by people who were devastated, who'd had a really awful experiences, right? Lived, like, within their families, it was kind of all right, but they, like, were literally the only black person for miles, and, like, all of these kind of things, and you're like...
That can be so challenging,
like,
for your identity.
What are you? Yeah, and it's just, like, they were so lonely and angry and upset and just, like, traumatised by this thing, but also whilst... being the people where everyone turns around and says, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah, you should be lucky.
Yeah, you should be lucky. And it's just like... And so that's why, in a way, I don't really hang around... And no disrespect to people who do hang around and be in adopted people's only spaces, because I think they're valid. But I find that my experience is quite a unique experience.
Yeah.
Within that world where I was adopted. I was adopted quite old, but... I'd been with my mum for a long time, but also my first name and my surname are my original names.
Which is something...
It's all of these things. I stayed with my brothers, my younger brother who wasn't adopted into our family but lived nearby. Like, all of these relationships and names and all of this stuff, I didn't lose.
Yes, exactly.
So, to be around people who've lost more than... It's just like, it's
heartbreaking.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's a lot.
Thank you for sharing your experience.
No problem.
I really appreciate it. I'm sure someone out there again as well is appreciating it. So yeah, that's wonderful. Are you working on any programs? I know you're writing at the moment.
I'm writing a play.
Fantastic.
I wrote a play a few years ago, and it was meant to go on, meant to have a reading, not go on, but just have a reading. March 2020, something happened around then.
So something small, minor
thing. That sort of put that on the back burner. Yeah. So I'm writing a new play, and I'm also just writing some book thing, like a book proposal thing.
It's amazing. So, yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. So where can people find you on your socials and platforms?
At Twana Main, sort of on Instagram, sort of on Twitter, but I'm trying to stay off that. It's a hell.
It is. It's a rabbit hole, isn't it?
It's a horrible place.
My new drug is TikTok.
I can't get involved with that.
You say you've got to be on it for like 5 minutes, and 2 hours of your life go by, and you're especially once it gets your algorithm, you're screwed.
I've been with people and seen them, and you're like, just put it down.
I'll be like this. Okay.
Yeah, you're like.
Black Ink Cinema is all about celebrating black cinema, and Twana chose a classic, one of those films that has the best moment at the Oscars for me personally. Moonlight, starring Mahershala Ali, Janelle Monáe, Trevante Rhodes, and Naomi Harris. Why did you pick Moonlight?
don't know, you know. I'd not seen it for a while. So I saw it when it came out in the cinema. Mm-hmm. And I remember... I don't remember... I remember it was when it came out and various people who I'd known had seen it. And I got their responses to it on Twitter. That was when I was on Twitter, like 6 years ago or whatever. Mm. And everyone sort of said it was beautiful. And not that I didn't think it would be beautiful.
You just, weren't expecting it.
But I wasn't expecting it to be as beautiful as I thought it was. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And it's just... And when I watched it again recently, I was like, yeah, this... And it, this maybe I think about it slightly differently. Mm. But, yeah, I think there's... Yeah, you can tell it's been made by black people.
Yes. Which, like yourself, probably, I've watched it a few times, but again, I watched it specifically for this podcast, and every time I watch it there's something else that I see or notice or read a character differently how I did initially or whatever and stuff. And that's when you know someone's made like a beautiful piece of work that can keep you engaged even after you've watched it a million times and you're just like, what, I can't learn anything new, but you actually actually can. I really enjoyed it. Also, the intro of that film, I've watched it like I said a few times and I'd never heard the song. I don't know if you...
What song?
N-Word is a Star.
Oh, that one, yeah. Is that right at the beginning?
Right at the beginning. And I just never... I don't know if I was not listening to it or I was not paying attention properly, but that was the first time. And I just thought, well, that's quite apt, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting. So why do you appreciate the fact that it's made by black people?
Like, well, it's directed... Like, the director's black.
Barry Jenkins.
And the writer's black. Mm-hmm. And also queer. Yes. And so, like, maybe you can tell that it's been directed by a straight man. I feel that watching it. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I know that he's straight because I've read it.
Yes.
So when I saw it for the first time, I wasn't aware of that. Mm. But I also knew that... I also knew about the writer, Terrell. I knew of... I think I knew of him. Just slightly, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I think... When that film came out, maybe his other work was mentioned. So I knew that this guy was the person who wrote this thing and wrote this film. So I was like, okay, so... And he co-wrote the script. They co-wrote the screenplay. So you're like, okay, cool. So that's... And then, I don't know, just having a... So when Chiron is little, the young Chiron...
Little, yeah.
There's just, like, the stuff about him... That I think, I don't know, there's like just shots of him it just captures who this person is.
Yeah.
And you don't get it so much when he's a teenager, but you know, like there's like the shot when you see him when he's a grown man, and like one of the first few shots is his teeth.
Yes.
And you're like, do you know what? Those teeth, like that whole teeth stuff is just like.
The grills,
like that mouthful of gold is just like. And that's one of those, like, he's in the car and it's quite dark.
Yeah.
But you just get this gold mouth and you're like, oh my gosh, this is who this person has become.
Mm.
And it's just like, and I don't think a white director would have understood the significance of that and those teeth and just
and
that.
The colouring.
The colouring
well.
Of all of that.
Mm. I think what I do like is how the story is broken down into three stages.
Yeah.
You've got little... Chiron and Black.
Yeah.
And what I think I love about the first part, Little, is he doesn't say much.
Yeah, yeah, his yeah, yeah,
face,
yeah.
He's
so silent.
Oh my gosh, but he's speaking volumes. Yeah. Like I can feel his pain. Yeah. And I just like, it breaks my heart that this little kid, this innocent child is going through a life like this.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about all the other kids that are going through this. And that's just the emotional person in me that just wanders off when I should just be watching a movie. Yeah, exactly. And then also him, like the little part, battling his sexuality.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they touched upon that quite well? Because actually, especially young black men, they're not really depicted like that in movies.
I think it's really interesting. Like, you know, when there's a few shots, there's a few scenes, like... When they're kicking that thing, whatever that... ball or whatever.
Yeah.
And he... And he kind of pans round and you see them all. And he's... I don't know, they're just
scrawny and small.
And then he tries and then he just, like, gives up and he just, like, wanders off. And then Kevin sort of comes and finds him.
Because, like, come on, you've got to be...
Yeah, Kevin sort of... kind of gets him. Like, Kevin is him, but also of, like, the tough version of
knows
him.
Knows how to play the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like, right, I'm not gonna make myself... I'm as vulnerable as you.
But I'm not going to make myself a victim.
And I'm not going to make myself... And I'm not going to let these people know this.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Whereas...
And you see
Little
that
doesn't
throughout.
Have... Yeah, Little doesn't have... Yeah. Doesn't have that.
Mm. And it goes to show not everyone does.
Yeah,
well.
No, it's and he doesn't... Like, and he doesn't sort of... But then, like, I suppose that by the time he's become black, he has, like, he's just, like... He's just basically just pulled down all the shutters, basically, at that point.
But you see the transition when... Kevin beats him up and then the guys jump in and then he looks at himself in the mirror and he's having that moment of like, right, I am done. Yeah. No more nice guy.
Yeah. Almost, but it's literally like the bit when he sort of comes in the next day and he picks up that chair and you're like, yes, come on. Like,
I've never been so happy to see someone get a chair smacked.
Yeah, it's just like, but that guy was like the worst bully as well.
Oh my God,
the worst. Like the worst
bully. I think he was gay.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I think he fancied him.
He saw himself and was like, oh my, like, and he found that, like, this guy is essentially being himself, even though he's quiet and shy and geeky and all the rest of it. But he's on it. He's an honest version of himself.
Yeah.
Whereas,
and he's jealous of that.
And I can't be. And so he just sort of,
I don't know,
get somebody else to beat him up.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
oh yeah, that
just
was
do
just
your
horrible.
Own dirty work.
And knowing that they are friends as well, that was even worse.
It's like, do the work yourself.
I do feel like that should be an ad for bullies. Like, if karma won't get you, you know, maybe a chair in the back might. You know, you just
and it'll be
know.
Allowed. No judge. if a judge, you get a young person who's turned up and hits, like, let them go, set them free.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was just deserved.
Just that character and people like that just get under my skin, but it's for another day. I do like, even though he had a troubled upbringing, his saving grace was meeting Juan and Teresa.
Yeah.
Who were like his surrogate parents.
Yeah.
Did you, like, and watching how he was with them and his walls come down was quite beautiful.
It's quite sweet, actually, that whole thing. Like, I don't know, because then when you realise that he has a relationship with them throughout...
Yeah.
His whole life. So then when he's a teenager, he goes and stays when his mum's sort of like, I need you out of the house.
Yeah, not tonight.
Not tonight, because his mum's... So when we meet them at the first, like, his mum is working and seems to have her life together.
Yeah.
More or less. But then there's and it comes off the rails a bit. Because then she's the one who takes his money and all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you see when he's black and he goes to visit his mum in that place, wherever
rehab
that place is,
place.
Rehab, where she chooses to stay because she realises actually...
This is the only place.
I'm actually outside of here. I can't control I'm just make trouble for myself. And maybe she's sort of had enough of that. But she references... Teresa.
Yeah. She doesn't reference Quan. Which
he's passed away.
That's what I...
He's passed
do
away.
We know, do we see that?
No,
do we know
but
that?
He passes away, I think, between... When, I think
between
he passes...
Between Little and Black. And, I mean, between Chiron and Black, yes.
Yeah.
But I just thought that would be nice to... I don't know, maybe they didn't.
No, but then I think it's for you
to
figure that out yourself.
Yeah. And you can kind of see Paula is still a bit jealous
of
the relationship that he would have with Teresa.
Because he has a better relationship, like but it's like,
but, she's
but then, you know, he loves her. He does love his mum.
Yes, of course.
He doesn't not love her, but I just think they just have
a turbulent relationship.
A difficult relationship. Mm. And they both realise that, and they're both so unable to articulate themselves properly. So then it's just like...
Yeah.
He is, especially.
He doesn't talk that much and man a few words.
Very few words. What a great script.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Barely anything.
Yeah. Also, do you not feel like Juan and Teresa stepping in then gave a cop out to Paula to not be as present as a mother? And that's, I don't know if you see, like, the relationship have self deteriorating. She's getting worse and worse over the years.
I don't think he gave her permission, but I think it just gives her, like, well, there's, there's going to be somebody who looks after him because I can't. Mm. I think you have to think about, like, addicts and stuff. Like, they can't... Different things take priorities. Yeah, things take different priorities. And I suppose it just becomes, it's a job in itself, do you know what I mean? It's just like, I think she's trying her best, but her best,
it's not
the best, not because you're on crack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Which is the worst.
That's gonna hold you back.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
As we were touching upon Juan and Little's relationship, where it starts, they have so many beautiful moments.
Yeah.
They have so many candid conversations. Yeah. I feel like they speak about the sexuality thing without really speaking about it. He kind of tells them, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Did you have any favourite scenes?
There's a bit when he's... I think they're at the sea side.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit when he turns around and says to him, you kind of have to decide what you want to be. Like, it's up to you.
Yeah.
No, like, no one can decide these things for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's up to you. But he asks, there's that thing when he's having food and he says to her, he's having dinner at theirs and he sort of says, what's a f***?
Yes.
And he explains and then he sort of, he's going to say something and she looks at him like, just leave, leave that bit. Like,
stop.
Yeah,
stop.
It's like.
Which I think was quite cute in the sense that, you know, he's asking an innocent question. Yeah. He's being called this all the time at school. He wants to understand
And they're like, and they give him the answer. Like, they give him the answers, and like, yeah, I just thought it was quite, and not judge him, not tell him off
what to think or what to say. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, this is what this thing is, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
How do you feel the evolution of the gay slurs have evolved, because in the film they use the word, the F word, quite a few times, and obviously growing up I remember, you know, gay was used all the time. Like, no one, you know, as kids, like, people didn't know any difference. But now obviously people are a bit more self-aware and are very good at calling everyone out, like, you know, what to say, what not to say, what's okay, what's not to say. And also people within the community are taking,
refer to themselves, like, I cannot answer that question. That's such a big question. It's like, I don't know. Like, language is, like you said earlier on about, like, the N-word, right? And, like, I find that, like, it's not problematic, but I just find it... So, like, when Kendrick was at Glastonbury last year, and I was like, I'm not watching this, because he's essentially going to shout the N-word out in front of, like, loads of white people, and they're going to shout it back. And I'm not watching, I'm not involving myself in this.
It gets very techie.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not involving myself in this. It's just like, ugh. And it's a lyric, but it's also, but then if you listen, like, I don't know, it's just, not that I've listened to hip-hop forever.
Yeah.
I can listen to it on my own. But sometimes if I'm going into a shop and they're playing music and it's just N-word, it's just like, stop playing. Like, this is, I don't know. I don't know if I'm not answering the question.
No,
but I'm just like, just going. It's up to, like, language is personal to you.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to use, not like you're allowed to use the word whatever, however you want. But if that word is about you and you within your community,
yes, exactly.
Do whatever you want with it, or not do whatever you want with
exactly.
it.
Yes, exactly. You have to try.
But I think also people outside of communities and worlds need to respect the fact, or like honour the fact that these words actually... Because like if you talk to some people of a certain age, they don't like the word queer. Like, gay people don't like to be referred to like as queer. It's like, I'm gay, you're like, oh, I'm this, and you're like, but then also but are like, I'm not saying that they're like transphobic or any of this. It's just like, that word to me meant something different 20 years ago, so now it means this, and I'm not on board with that, and I find it jars me slightly. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
I get it.
But language changes and it's fluid and all of this kind of stuff, and sometimes you have to embrace the change of how it works.
At the beginning, in Little's section, they often call him soft, bully him. Have you ever felt peer pressure when you were growing up?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah. Do you have any... Has any of it stayed with you? Because as you see throughout the film in here, even when he's older, he kind of shrinks when he gets...
I just gave up on everything.
Oh, nice.
Sort of like... when I was a teenager, sort of being bullied slightly, just being like the unusual black girl, and it's just kind of like, hey, well, this is how it is. So
did you own that?
Yeah, I did actually. I was like, I'm done. And also I could fight. But I didn't really have to fight.
Yeah, but it was defending yourself.
Yeah, it's just like, if I have to fight, I can fight, even though I didn't really get in. I didn't get into any fights. Because it would have been horrible. Like, I saw some girls fight and it's just like...
Yeah, it's quite savage.
It's horrible. Mm. Like, it's... I've stopped a fight a few years ago with some girls who just jumped this one girl and I was like...
It was so horrible to see.
And then I sort of shouted at the security guard who strolled up. I was like, where have you been?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing this. But, it was grim. It's really grim.
Horrible. It's horrible when you see it going around in the socials as well.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't know.
I think, God, this wasn't really around when I was growing up. Like, yeah, phones and that were there, but it wasn't
how it is
now. No, I'm
glad I missed all of that. I just think it just makes everything 10 times worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You touched upon a part at the beginning when Juan and Paula have an argument. You know when he finds her smoking crack in the car and they have this massive argument? And she's basically saying, well, you're going to, like, come and look after my child, basically, essentially. But do you feel there's something in there where she's like, you know he's different and you know why he's different? They kind of touch upon him assuming or that he's gay from
that young age. I think her problem with him is, I think he's the one who's selling... He's a drug dealer, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like... I am the human side of what you're doing, it's essentially. And so you're hanging out with my son, and good on you, but like, what do you want from him? Not in a bad way, and I don't mean that, but it's like, so you've made friends with my son. You've made friends with him because I'm not around, because I'm basically taking drugs
that you're selling.
That people like you sell to people like me.
Yeah,
this is it. This is the reality of this situation.
I do love how they show this conflicted person, because he's actually a really nice guy.
Who?
Juan.
Yeah, but he's a drug dealer.
He's
like the nicest drug dealer,
right? The nicest drug dealer ever. And even his little kind of speeches that he has with Little and, you know, there's black people everywhere and taking him how to swim. Because that's another thing. Why don't black people swim? Yeah. Guys, I don't understand.
Get in the water.
It's such a thing that irritates me. I love swimming. But... it's just so nice to see not a one-dimensional drug dealer. I know that's a strange statement, but I quite appreciate the fact that he had this softness, he had this vulnerability.
But he's like, you see him and you're like, this guy could be anything, really.
Yes.
So like, our normal depictions of drug dealers would not be this. They'd be like Wesley Snipes. Do you know what I mean? They'd be like, it's like New Jack City. It's like, we have all of these sort of over-the-top, ultra, really violent, whereas you've got this guy who just seems to be quite sweet, lives in a nice house, like a normal house with his partner. And it's just like, it's not over the top, it's not ostentatious, none of that. It's just like, this guy happens to make a living selling drugs.
Yeah, that's not who he is.
Yeah,
and it's just like him.
Yeah.
Do you...
It makes it aspirational.
I was like, we're not so bad after all.
Okay.
Double in that.
I'm
see how it goes.
Make myself as a drug dealer starting next week. This is it.
Do you feel like, because at the end when we see Black, he's basically transitioned and transformed himself into a version of Juan with the grills and buffed up. Do you think they were trying to make the link that Juan saw himself in him and had ever battled his sexuality? Is that why he took a liking or like compassion towards him?
I don't think so. Maybe for them, like, you, we don't know, like, Juan's story. Do you know what I mean? In sense of, like, we know he does refer to himself as being, like, from Cuba. So we know that side of him. But we don't know anything else about him. No, I think he saw him... Because we've just spoken about Juan just being not your typical drug dealer.
Yes.
So maybe he's in that sense of, like, well, I'm not this... I'm not what you think a drug dealer should be. Mate, you don't have to be... It's what you think a black man or a black boy should be. You don't have to be that thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe there's that connection.
Yeah.
And he just meets this sweet kid who is not where he should be. Like, he meets him and he's like, well, where do you live? Have you eaten? And, like, weirdly, what I find is not weird, but it's just like this man takes this child under his wing and he takes him for some food, whereas we grew up where you don't talk to strangers.
Yes.
And it's like, if somebody offers you some food, you're like, nah, no, mate, you could be starving.
Leave
me
in the crack shack. Yeah, I will find my way home.
Do you know what I mean? So there's that weird thing of like little is like really vulnerable. Mm. Like to me, like that whole first thing, like this kid is so vulnerable.
It's like anyone could have found him.
Yeah.
Anything could have happened.
Weirdly, so then he takes this kid for some food and he doesn't talk. And this kid doesn't tell him where he lives.
Yes.
Like this kid has got in the car with him. And it's just like, and then he takes him home and then he goes to get his girlfriend to say, look, speak. And she sort of, the first time you see her, she's like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, yeah. This is not what you do. So like, their meeting and their relationship is, it's going against so many conventions.
Yeah, because any of that, you can switch it and it can
become
a horror story.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, actually, because you're sitting there watching it from an adult's point of view.
Yeah.
Just thinking,
This is so wrong.
What are you doing?
But also, I'm watching it again this time. I saw that he doesn't tell him, not because anything else, but I feel like, for me, I took it like he doesn't tell him because he doesn't want to go home. Mm. He wants to stay away from home as long as possible.
Yeah,
that's when he slept and probably had the best night's sleep that he's had in a while.
Yeah.
Had breakfast and, you know, and then got home. And it was just a bit like... And when
But then obviously that's not the first time he's done that.
No, yeah.
So obviously he's done it before where he's probably slept somewhere where he's not been warm, where he's not been in a bed, where he's not been fed.
Yeah.
So for him to have all of those things... And for these people, and you don't know what's happened to him in situations maybe where he has been with, do you know what I mean? It's like, actually, so maybe he's doing stuff because he's done stuff before and he's been quite vulnerable and maybe that's been taken advantage of. So he doesn't, that to him is like, this could happen again or not. But also throughout that time, none of that stuff's happened. So he's like, well, these so far are nice people.
Mm.
This is nice to be around.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm gonna ride this thing out. Do you know what I mean? It's quiet. I'm fed. They seem to be nice.
It was a kind of happy ending in that sense, which was such a relief. Because the whole time when I watched it the first time, I was like, please don't do anything bad. The transition between Chiron and Black was quite drastic.
Yeah.
How did you feel that version of him? Because I feel like he basically just creates a facade, a persona of
Black.
To kind of just get away, start again, reinvent himself.
But then, so obviously we've seen him as Little, and he's quite... And Little becomes Chiron, and Chiron has a dreadful time as a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm not having that.
Choosing.
And obviously, from what he does, where he gets sent somewhere, he got sent to Georgia, I think it was.
Mm.
So obviously he's been sent to like... juvenile facility.
Like, did his time since you've been out.
Yeah,
you went down to Georgia.
So then it's kind of like, and in those places, if you go in as like some skinny little rake, it's like you need to make yourself big. You need to become big now
to survive.
To survive this. So that's basically what he's like. He's been in. He's been in a facility where it's like, and it's like, well, I'm going to carry on with this because.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, and it's keeping me alive.
It's keeping me safe.
A technique that Barry Jenkins did was keep the three actors who played Chiron away from each other so they wouldn't copy each other or become each other. And so therefore they just had to create this character, which I think really worked because you did see them as three different people.
Because do you know what? When I was in the cinema and when you see... When you start off with Little and then you get to Chiron... But when you get to... When you first see Black...
Yeah.
And everyone in the cinema just went... Huh?
Yeah.
Like you could... That was so audible.
Yeah,
like, it was just like...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how I was.
Yeah.
I didn't see that correlation
happening. And even when I saw it again recently, and I knew that was what was going to happen...
Yeah.
Seeing that, it's like... That's pretty... It's kind of like... It's such a massive transformation.
Mm,
it's
huge.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Tramonte Rhodes, very beautiful man. I do love the relationship between him and Kevin. He's probably one of his only true friends. And so when he does call him at the end and they do reunite, it's such a sweet ending to a very sad life kind of thing, like sad story. Yeah, but what do
you think? I'm going to ask you. I don't know. I'm going to ask you.
She's flipping it.
What do you think happened?
That was what I was going
to
ask you.
Do you think
there was a happily ever after? Because then why hit me up after all these years just for nothing? So we're just going to live in the shadows, or we're just going to pretend like we have?
Yeah, but like Kevin's a guy who's got a young child, he's got a job, he's on probation. He can't be out running with a drug dealer. He's got like the best teeth. It's doomed.
Yeah.
It's a doomed.
But then it kind of shows, this is the romantic in me, but then it kind of like they just, the love is like too strong and it's brought them back together.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, Black is he's so like repressed.
Yeah.
In such a way, it's like, no. I mean, I get it. I do. You want them to be happy. You want them
to... In my head, that's what happened.
Drive off into the sunset.
Yes,
hold hands. Live the best life. Do you know what I mean? But it's just like...
Yeah.
Maybe for a bit, but I don't know. Because he said he's not touched anybody. He's not been physical with anybody. Not that that's a thing.
Who? Chiron?
Black says that. Like, since their thing on
the
beach.
Yeah.
Not saying that's a thing, but it's just like, this guy is so... tightly, like, it's so like
wound up,
like he's like this, and it's just
and
like,
you also see how he shrinks again and becomes that little and Chiron in front of Kevin, even though he's like this big muscular guy and looks confident.
I mean why not? I would like to believe, but also you just think, I don't know, it's a nice, he's back in Miami as well, isn't he?
Yes.
And it's just like, he left, he didn't, you know, he's not been there for a long time.
Yeah
I don't know.
I mean, Miami's the place if you want
to... Yeah, I know, but it's just kind of like, he has to start, like, there's too many memories though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
sad. So a lot of Black is persona, which I feel like, do you have to have a persona when you're doing your stand-up or when you're performing, or are you just super confident and you're like, I don't need that?
It's pretty much a version of me, but I think in real life, I'm a lot more... I'm quite shy. Whereas on stage, I don't think that comes across. I'm quite an introvert. But I suppose when you're standing on stage full of a room full of people, then everyone sort of thinks that you're super confident.
Yes.
And they kind of are. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
I am. But it is a...
You switch it on.
It's part of the act. So when I came back to doing a few gigs like last year, just to sort of test the water, and it was kind of like, there was a lot of things that I found were easy, like just making people laugh, but it's just like little techniques. It was, in terms of like, the biggest problem I had was breathing. I didn't realise that there was a whole thing about that you breathe.
That's interesting.
Which I'd learnt to do it, and then you just don't realise that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're pacing. It's like my whole pace, like the pace that I had was just off, and I was just like,
that's brilliant.
I don't really know, like... And I didn't know what I was physically was doing as well. There's loads of weird stuff where it's just like... Like, on stage, I don't move a lot. I keep quite still. I mean, I prefer to be in one... I'm not somebody who paces up and down. I don't... There's not a lot of going, and another thing! It's just like... It's very minimal.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise... I just felt quite awkward in myself. Of like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
So that was a bit weird.
So you're a superstar.
Sometimes.
One of the biggest things that annoyed me about the Oscars was Naomi Harris not getting Best Supporting Actress.
Was she nominated?
Yes. Viola Davis, of course, my love, my heart, won it. But I don't feel like Viola should have been in that category because she played the lead. She should have been in the lead category, therefore Naomi.
What was it for? What was Viola's one for? Was it The Help?
No.
Fences. All right, okay.
Because
is that the one with Denzel?
Because she's essentially a lead in that. You know?
But she's a supporting actress.
That's what they put her in, the supporting actress.
Oh wow!
And so I thought it was a bit of a snub because I thought Naomi to do that in 3 days was
it's always
phenomenal.
Do you know what? I haven't got time for Black. I need to say the whole sentence, right? You can't just stop.
Don't get yourself cancelled.
I haven't got time for Black. Like, the Oscars and the best, like, actor and actress and supporting roles, and like, sometimes I'm not, I'm not even a massive fan of some of the films that are like in that get in that category sometimes. So sometimes you just think,
I think over the years, I used to have watched all of the films that would be up for everything. Like, I would have watched it. But now, every time I see some of the films that have won this picture or a person that's won in a certain category, I'm like, no, they didn't. And so this year was the first year I hadn't seen any of the films in Best Picture. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'll see how I feel afterwards. And then I'll watch it.
Because it was like, Viola was snubbed again. And what was the whole deal with Angela Bassett? Was she nominated?
Yeah, she was nominated, and it went to Halloween lady.
For that film. Yes. All right, okay. Yeah, but sometimes they give. Angela Bassett's been around forever as well, though.
Forever.
Because sometimes it's like, you've been in the industry for like 35 years. You've done some a good body of work. And you have been good in this film.
And I feel like that's what they did with Jamie Kurtz, to be fair. Like, her body of work is quite good, and they were like, we've got to give it to her before, and they do that to quite a few. But I'm like, just give it to them when. Yeah.
It can be appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because What's Love Got to Do with It? 10-10. And so many other films that she's done. Yeah. I know Angela's face. When I saw her face, I was like, Auntie, I'm so sorry. Auntie was.
She should not have expected to. Sometimes you just have to show up and just put on a nice outfit and just
go. But that's what she was there, but she was like, I'm not going to pretend I'm happy.
That's
what it was.
Yeah, and then she got like the backlash.
Yes.
The blacklash.
The blacklash.
There you go. That's my word, right?
You've done that.
I coined that, I'm sure.
And I think I'm like you. I've just got to that point where it's like, I'm not going to hold my breath. If it happens, it happens. It's great. And I'm super happy for that person. But I'm not going to expect
it. Awards are nice, right? I'm not knocking it. But it's just like, I just think there's a certain thing about all of that kind of thing. You want to be accepted in this really weird, revered space.
Yeah.
And there's rules to that. And so you can't expect...
Yes. To colour out sound.
Yes. Yeah, you can't. You know, you either get on board with it or you don't. It's just like, I don't know. I'd win one. If I won one, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I'd win one.
I'd still want to win one.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind winning one, but it's just like, I don't know.
Okay, so we've done a lot of talking about Moonlight, but we've just got some quick fire questions for you.
I'm ready.
Love it. Who's your favourite black actress?
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, we're going in. We're going in straight there.
Oh, I don't know, you know. Wow.
It's a hard one. I didn't say it was going to be easy.
I don't know, you know. Now I'm going to sound like I just don't.
Every time I ask anyone of this, it's like, oh gosh.
Who's yours?
Oh, don't do that.
Come on, I just want a bit of like, take the pressure off.
I actually would say Viola's one of my favourites.
Mm.
Just,
but she always plays strong women, and I find that really probably, annoying.
Oh, okay. What, you want her to not play strong women?
They're all... Okay, leading roles, black women, there's like a strength, and it's just like...
Not every day.
I'm going to be a strong woman. It's like, and so the roles that you get nominated for are strong women.
Mm.
It's like, how about just a woman who just sits in her pyjamas all day and eats like what's it? Do you know what I mean? We'll come back to
we'll
that
come
one.
Back to that. Well,
favorite black actor.
Yes, I'm just about to go there. But I often find that people find this a bit easier.
I like Denzel Washington. Mm. I've not seen him in absolutely everything, but I've seen him in quite a lot of stuff. I like him.
What's your favourite Denzel film?
Do you know what? Recently I saw American Gangster.
Brilliant.
And I liked him in that. Mm. I like that. I do like that film.
Yeah, that's a fantastic
film. I do think that's a good... I'm just trying to think. Do you know who I saw in a... play... at the Young Vic, I saw Wendell Pierce.
Okay.
In Death of a Salesman. Yeah. It's pretty good.
He's great.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think of like on stage as well. Like I've not like Denzel Washington would be a great like theatre actor.
But he did that for Fences was on in theatre.
Did he do it? Did he do that on stage?
Yeah, he did that on stage. Okay. Sorry. What about your favourite black comedian?
Me.
Straight. Love
Come
it.
Come on.
Favourite black-led movie?
I'm going to go for two. I'm going to go for Do the Right Thing.
Brilliant.
Which I think is amazing. And I also want to go for Inside Man.
That was our first screening. Inside
really?
Man. Yes. Love Spike Lee.
Do you know what?
Love Inside Man.
Sometimes I find Spike is Spike. And I like some of his stuff, and some of his stuff but I do like Inside Man. I do like Do the Right Thing. I like some of his, so he's a bit, I don't know.
I feel like Inside Man was made so brilliantly.
It's a brilliant film.
Who would play you in a biopic?
I don't know. Who would I don't know. Me.
Do it. Why not?
Why not play yourself in a film? Yeah.
Is there a character in a TV series or film that you've seen and you're like, I would love to play that role?
TV series or a film?
Yeah.
Michael Corleone.
Hey.
But I'd like to be. Jesus. I'd like to be. I'd like to be his brother. I'd like to be Sonny Santino.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool answer.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's a quick fire round.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
can relax now. For those people who haven't seen Moonlight, if you had to direct them to YouTube to watch a clip, what clip would it be and why?
Do you know what? I would direct them to the bit right at the end when it goes back to when Little is a boy and he's standing at the sea and it's blue.
Yeah.
And he turns and he looks at the camera and he looks.
Yeah.
And then it ends. That's like the end sort of. And I would. Because then you get the shot, you get the blue, and then there's a line
that Juan says.
What that all means.
Yes. Which I thought was
so like
stunning.
With that film, listen. You have to listen to what is being said.
Yeah.
And also you have to look at the colour. There's colour, there's a lot of stuff going on with colour.
Yeah. They play around
blue,
with it a lot.
Blue, pink, gold. There's colour. And it around certain people.
Yeah.
Just pay attention. You have to pay attention in that film. Yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Yeah. I'm the same. That's actually something, a little montage that I would like to see or direct people to. Well, thank you, Twana.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have
me.
Been amazing.
Thank
and
you.
I can't wait to see what you've been writing, hopefully soon.
Yes.
Wish you the absolute best.
Thank you very much.
And speak to you soon.
Cool. Thank you.